By George, the dream is alive.
By George and Giant Killer present the Ryan and Dom cast with your hosts, Ryan Salick and Dominic Allegra.
The ball gets away. We are headed to... Oh!
By George, the dream is alive. You know, this is I think the fourth podcast that's going on the new By George podcasting network. We're the Ryan and Dom cast. I'm Dom.
I'm Ryan.
We're both Green Machine members. If you did not know that, my full name's Dominic Allegra. I'm from Vienna, Virginia, about 20 miles down the street. Let's see. I went to school in Arlington, Catholic schoolboy. and then came here, you know, looking for a nice athletic university. You know, I was looking at GW also, you know, as a choice, but
a poor athletic university.
What are you talking about? I mean, they beat us last year for the women's. You know, you know, even with Natalie Butler, we couldn't get that done. But you know,
we choked.
Yeah,
it's because the Green Machine didn't go to that game.
You're damn right there. You're damn right there. You know, it's just because, can't you remember? It was because of the wind. It was because of the wind.
That's right.
We couldn't go because I think there was like 40 mile an hour winds or something like
that.
Yeah,
and you can't take buses.
You couldn't take buses down to Richmond for that. But guess what? The GW band went.
Yeah, outrageous.
Like, what the heck?
Outrageous.
I was so pissed. You know, were you sitting with us? In Glenn's apartment when we were watching the game, where you were there.
Mm-mm,
I can't remember that. But we were all mad because, you know, we looked on TV when they first put it on and like we were all like, what the hell? Why are they there? Why aren't we there?
Yeah.
Like, what the heck? But okay. Ryan, I want to hear a little bit about you.
All right.
I think you're from is that Nebraska?
That's right.
That's right?
Omaha, Nebraska, the 402, baby.
Oh, I don't even, like, what is a 4? I'm from the 703. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
A good old 19-hour drive brought me down to Virginia.
Oh.
And it's a good time. I love being out here. But I got to give a shout out to the Cornhuskers down in Lincoln. They'll always own my heart a little bit, but... I've become a diehard Mason fan now. So
me too. You know, I kind of grew up. You know, I grew up around here. I went to like Disney on Ice, like at the Patriot Center when it was still called the Patriot Center.
Nice.
And you know, just I guess since then, it's kind of Mason's been ingrained in me, and that's kind of what you know wanted me to go here. It was the Disney on Ice, nothing else. It was not the government school, not the great band. It was the Disney on Ice at
that's
the Patriot
what
Center.
I'm talking about.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What I'm talking about.
Well, we got a lot to talk about today. We got men's basketball, we got women's basketball. We're going to talk even a little bit about the NFL and Tom Brady. And
not get me started on that yet.
Ugh, and don't even get me started on the Saints game. That Saints game with the no call.
Yeah,
we can talk a little bit about that too.
Yeah.
And kind of the stupidness of what's come out of that. You know.
Yeah.
Have you heard about that? One fan decided to file a suit. Did you see that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, we'll get to that a little later in the pod, but. Let's see. Let's start with men's basketball.
Okay.
Let's see. You know, we started, I think, what was it, 2-3 or something like that. We lost to American. Just straight trash. We shouldn't have lost that game. I think out of all the games, maybe Georgia Southern, but American is one I'd really want to have back.
Yeah, that was starting off 0-3 was a real rough start to the season. I think our heads were pretty hung low, but then we started to get back on track, especially once conference play started up.
You know, we had that one game against Kansas State, and you know, we had a chance to win it in the end with that final inbounds play. We had two chances actually.
Yeah,
and we still couldn't get it done.
That would have been a major game to win against about a Power Five conference team, but.
Oh God, I keep forgetting to turn off my phone. Gosh, but that Kansas State game, I think, was the climax of, I guess, the season where we started really rough, and then we went through the Emerald Coast Classic. We lost to Baylor and Cincinnati.
Yeah,
and you know, those were, you know, like 20 point losses, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think a lot of what we got to give up some praise to Justin Kyer for kind of stepping up his game.
You're going to just roast me, because if y'all don't know, I was a non-Justin Kyer believer at the beginning of the season.
He really was. And I had to every game, every time he made a basket, I'd turn to him and be like, he's going to do something for this team. I don't know what yet. But look at him now. Two back-to-back 8-10 players of the week.
Yep.
Possibly three if he plays a good game on Saturday against George Washington.
I'm hoping, you know, he does. Mm-hmm. I will say that I think of myself as not wrong very often, but I will gladly admit that I was very wrong when it came to Justin Kyer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I just didn't see it in him, or, you know, he kind of just exploded after right into conference play.
Yeah.
You know, he's on the same list with like Zion Williamson from Duke. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah, he's had like 20 points per game.
Excluding the game against Dayton. We're not really sure what happened.
I think he's had two games now in like the last stretch where he hasn't gotten double-double, or he's like one rebound shy or two rebounds shy of a double-double. So he's, you know, he's still on the cusp, but, you know, he's still, you know, outperforming a lot of the other players in the A-10. I think he's leading the A-10 in scoring, which is just amazing. I think he's now become the new Marquise Moore. Mm. We both weren't around to see Marquise Moore, but from what everyone at the By George group and the GK group have been telling us, you know, he's now the real Marquise Moore, I think, for this squad. Let's see. The GW game on Saturday, I am very scared. Because, the Fordham game wasn't supposed to be that close. Okay.
Fordham and UMass.
Okay. Yeah. UMass too. You know, I write these recaps all the time, and half the time I don't remember the scores because of how many I've written already. But
UMass, Fordham, we beat by 3, and UMass we beat by 5.
Oh boy. Okay. Yeah. You're right. But the Fordham game, it should have been at least a 10-point victory, I think.
Easily.
That's why, you know, I think Paulson said this, that, you know, we perform really well against the teams that we're not expected to win. Mm-hmm. And we kind of underperform when it comes to the teams that, you know, we're the team that's expected to win, I guess.
Yeah.
And we as Petey would say, we played down to our opponent.
Yeah, and another big thing that really worries me is both of these games have been at home. We've been struggling real hard at home this
season. I don't
know
what's going on, man. We're 4-0 on the road in conference play, but I think even our shooting percentage is like, I think almost half of what our shooting percentage at home is like half of what it is on the road.
I believe that.
And I just don't understand it. I mean,
Here's a bright side to the game against George Washington. You know, we're predicted to win the game.
Yes.
George Washington has lost 4 of their last 5. Mason has won 4 of their last 5.
Yes.
Justin Kyer, if he can have a good game, he's going to carry us. Otis Livingston is coming off a pretty good game. Ian Boyd's doing well off the bench.
Yeah.
We even had some presence in the paint against Dayton on Wednesday, so that's looking up for us. I don't see us going down from here unless we get an injury or something like that.
I think the By George Twitter account tweeted that ESPN had us at like 35% chance to win the conference, which is
that's pretty high.
Yeah, I'd say so. We got to get really back into this. We had a little technical difficulties. I pressed the space bar on GarageBand.
It's okay. Anyway, what I was trying to say is, you know, we had a big flip turnaround halfway through the season. In the preseason, we were ranked fourth in the A-10 conference,
yeah,
and we were all really excited about that. We go 0-3 in our first three games, and mm-hmm, we kind of stand there looking around with our heads cut off. What are we going to do?
Yeah, the at-large bid was dead right after we lost to Penn and American.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the only thought going through my mind and in Brian's mind of by George, you know, is we got to win in Brooklyn. That's mm-hmm, like the only way we're going to make the big dance.
Let's talk about the Dayton game a little bit, you know.
Okay.
It was a real sloppy first half. I think everyone can agree with on both sides.
Yeah, I say so.
Which kind of worked out for us. Because we were able to be just slightly less sloppy than mm-hmm, Dayton. And thank goodness Dayton couldn't sink any threes. If Dayton had made four more threes, I mean, that's the game for us.
Oh, yeah. You know,
just for reference, they were 8-for-27 from the three-point line. So
yeah, they just shot unlike them. That same goes for when we played Davidson. You know, mm-hmm, they're a three-point shooting team for the most part, and they just didn't perform well. And you know, it was close up until the last minute or so, and you know, we had another inbounds play to win the game, and we just couldn't get that one done either. For the Dayton game, Reuter actually stepped up, which was surprising.
He sure did.
You know, I may have been, you know, ragging on Reuter.
We both have.
Through the entire first, you know, half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, his stamina, I think, has gotten a lot better. He's playing a lot more minutes.
If the rest of the game, if this is his turning point, I'm very excited
for
the rest of the season.
I think he had 14 points. He led the team against Dayton, which mm-hmm, is, you know, I'm glad for him about that.
Yeah.
I think he could have used a couple more rebounds.
It is sad. He only had four rebounds, and Greg Kalix coming off the bench had six rebounds. So he's still got to step up his game defensively in the paint a little bit. But offensively, force to be reckoned with against Dayton.
Oh, yeah. So we have GW. We talked about that. Then we got VCU coming up on, I guess, next Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
That will be a game to see. I'm very, as I was scared about the GW game, I'm even more scared about the VCU game.
Well, yeah.
That will really show us where we are in this conference, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Can we really
contend?
Yeah, I mean, I think... I haven't looked up the number yet in a while, but the teams that we've beaten, I think like the first four of them, they only had like five combined wins in mm-hmm, the A-10, which is just, you know, not good. But
yeah,
if we can beat VCU, I'll be way more confident in this team
mm-hmm,
going in possibly to Brooklyn.
George Mason is an interesting team so far. I'm actually excited that they're the underdog, you know? They're going to step up their game, I'm hoping, to play VCU and maybe step it up enough as the underdog to win that game. And it's away,
yeah,
which is weird to say, but we've been playing really well away. So the fact that it's away is actually a bit of a positive on our side.
Is it kind of bad that I kind of want to compare this team to the last year's Washington Capitals?
Oh, gosh.
That coming out, we thought, you know, after losing guys like Marcus Johansson, who was one of our main centers, and a couple D-men, and, you know, we thought it was just going to be a rebuild year.
Mm-hmm.
And we had that may have been different, I guess, going. We thought it was just going to be bad from the start for the Caps.
Mm-hmm.
For Mason, we thought it was going to be, you know, our year from the start. And then we go out of the gate and kind of just trash it all. But for the Caps, you know, it just got better and better, I guess, as it went on. And it was just a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can pull off something in Brooklyn. I'd be very, you know, happy. I think ESPN now has us ranked as a 15th seed in if we went to the NCAA tournament, which I think we'd be playing in Jacksonville, which is something I might even get a plane, go down there and travel to. That would be, I think, a lot of fun, mm-hmm, you know. I think Green Machine would go down there
for
too,
sure.
I think.
For sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, Brooklyn, I'm psyched for that. We'll see how we perform there.
Hopefully we stick up in the conference and we can get a good seed in Brooklyn, you know.
I'm hoping for a double bye. I don't know if you know this, but if we win the regular season, we're guaranteed a spot in the NIT.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless if we go to Brooklyn and win the regular season or not, we're definitely going to postseason play. So
as a pessimist sports viewer, I'm just going to bank on the fact that we don't end the season number one in the A-10. And that's okay. But I'm shooting for top four like we were predicted preseason.
Definitely. I think when we had our giant killer poll at the beginning of the season, I had Mason second in the regular season, which I think is still a good prediction now that, you know, we're 6-1. I think I talked to Tyler Byram. A lot of you guys will know him at one of the post-game press conferences. And Ibrahim Ahmad, who's our photographer, we were all talking. And Ibrahim was like, so how about that NCAA bubble bid? And I'm like, no, it's not going to happen.
Here's a bit of a problem. You know, we still have to play VCU two more times.
Yeah.
We have to play St. Louis. We have to play Duquesne, who just beat St. Louis. Yeah. Good for them.
Yep.
But we don't have an easy schedule ahead of us. So,
no.
So we just gotta perform well, and even if we don't get the wins, you know, we gotta have some style losses. You know, close games.
That's true.
Make ourselves look good.
Yeah. You know, I'm just hoping that this isn't like we go win like three more games and go 9-1 and then lose 8 consecutively. That'd be such a Mason thing to do. But I'm really hoping this is the year. You know, we're going to talk about the women in a second, but you know, when they had Natalie Butler last year, a lot of fans here thought that we were actually, you know, going to win the A-10 tournament, and we got, you know, real close. GW beat us, and I was just so disappointed about that. We talked about that at the beginning, but I think we could have won that game, man. We got anything else to talk about men's basketball before we got to women's basketball?
I think we move on to women's basketball. Let's just go for it. Dive in.
Man.
We'll see y'all at the game tomorrow, hopefully.
Tomorrow? What do you mean tomorrow?
Ah.
It's on Sunday.
I mean, the women's game is on Sunday.
Yes.
Right.
GW is tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, women's basketball. Here we go. Why don't you talk about it for a little while, Dom?
They finally got a win at UMass. If you can pull up their record for me, Ryan, that'd be great.
10-8 in the conference. 10-8 in it overall.
Overall?
Say. Yep.
Do you have non-conference for me?
Yeah, they are. Well, they're 2-3 in the conference,
no,
which means they're 8-5 non-conference.
That's not bad. I thought that was not bad.
That's a pretty strong knock. They played Kansas. They played Air Force. They played Washington.
Yeah.
They played Houston. These are some big name schools. Yeah. So,
I mean, let's see. They played a lot of, you know, like you said, a lot of good teams, but we really didn't get any big wins in the non-conference schedule.
No.
The
only of the teams that I just named off that we beat was Air Force.
Yeah, so. Which is, you know, eh. But, you know, not to bash the women's basketball team. You know, they're great. J.C. Bolton, who I've done a feature on with the school newspaper, the Fourth Estate. You know, she's great. She's really stepped up in Natalie Butler's absence.
Oh, for sure. We were really, really worried who's going to step up in the paint, who's going to step up on the block. And then J.C. Bolton's really, her rebounding is...
I think it's now up to like 8.7 rebounds a game or something like that. Mm. And, you know, for her, that's just a great increase from last year.
8.7 is exactly right. And she's leading the A-10.
She's leading the A-10. That's right.
Per game.
Oh, I do my job well, guys. we beat GW. I think when was the GW game? I can't remember. Was that That was last Saturday, I think. Yes. Yeah, we beat GW for the first time since December of the last time we had an NCAA bid, the men's team, which was 2011.
Oof.
I think it was 13 straight games that we've played at GW and lost.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
So good for them. Yeah. And it was a tight win, but they played well.
And then Kaminsky was just on fire that game. She was shooting three-pointers all day long. They were just kept going in. Nikki Cardano-Hillary.
Speaking of another A-10 leader, leading the A-10 in points at 19.9 points per game.
I was going to say 19.9.
I'll believe you.
Okay. But yeah, she, you know, JC and Nikki have both stepped up. You know what Natalie Butler did last year, you know, she had it like at least 20 points a game or something like that, and almost 20 rebounds almost every game.
Yeah, she was averaging at least a double double.
Well, yeah, because she had like 36, was it 36 or 35 consecutive double doubles? She almost broke the record, or no, she tied the record for most consecutive double doubles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, Nikki's really stepped up in that presence. I'd still like to critique her on her, you know, she's gone into like a little bit of a 3-point shooting slump. She really needs to get out of that hole. And then I guess this goes with how many shots you take, because she shoots so many times throughout the game that sometimes just her shot selection is just a little off.
Nicole's field goal percentage throughout the season is 36.7%,
which is decent.
3-point percentage is 25.8.
To 25.8.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, okay, that's okay. Can you get the, what's the ratio?
Yeah, she.
Do you have the ratio?
No.
You don't have the ratio?
No.
Okay. Well, let's see. They lost their first three conference games, including two at home, which was. It's just not good. They need to do better if they want to really contend for another A-10 title.
Mm-hmm.
Those three conference games, they had the lead, I think, going into the fourth quarter, and they just lost it. Which, you know, again, we have to do much better. You can't really be doing that if you want to win these big games. Mm.
Looking forward to Sunday.
Yeah.
Against Rhode Island, a home game against Rhode Island. You know, we're sitting 2-3 in conference, right? Pretty much in the middle, ninth in the conference. We got to have some key wins going ahead, and I think it starts with Rhode Island, who is sitting at 2-4, just a half game behind us.
Okay.
And starting with this win, I think this is where we need to turn around. It's going to be a close game, two evenly matched teams. I think beating them is important. It's going to give us some momentum going into St. Louis, mm-hmm. And then St. Bonaventure, and then again at versus George Washington. You know, we got to get some momentum going here in conference, because again, talking about the same with the guys, we need a good conference seed going into the tournament if we want to do anything in the postseason.
Yeah, definitely. Green Machine will definitely be there if we. I'm really hoping we host. Mm-hmm. We host that one. I think there's one home game on that Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really hoping we host that game. That'd be great. And then we go down to go up to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
That's right. That should be fun. You know, I'm a Steelers fan. If you didn't know. Also a Caps fan, if you didn't know it, based on that little tangent there. But definitely not a Penguins fan. But it'd be nice to finally go up into the Steel City and possibly get, a decent seeding and possibly a A-10 title. You know, even though we were, ranked in the preseason rankings for, like, I think, eighth.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we can prove them wrong.
I think we can. Yeah, we just gotta step up our game. We've split, unlike the guys, we're five of our wins are at home, five of our wins are away. So we're playing pretty evenly throughout the country. So we just gotta step up our game a little bit. And I really, really think this game against Rhode Island is important.
Oh yeah, definitely. Let's talk a little bit about the NFL.
The NFL.
We can talk a little bit about our Super Bowl predictions in a little bit, and then I really want to talk about, because if y'all didn't know, I'm also a government and international politics major. So, and I want to be a lawyer, so I want to talk a little bit about this silly lawsuit that's going on with the New Orleans Saints. Apparently, if you haven't seen it, I'd advise you to go onto Twitter, because Saints Twitter is still mad about this no call.
The famous no call, the pass interference at like 5 yard line.
Yeah, the 5 yard line
with the Saints about to score.
And it was, listen, the Steelers got gypped. What's his name? Joe Hayden. He intercepted a ball in the end zone, but got called for pass interference for not even really touching the receiver. And I thought that was bad. But this Rams player just literally decked the guy and took him out before the ball even got there. And I was just confused, like, why there was no flags thrown. And so what this guy has done as he's filed this suit saying that the New Orleans Saints and the Saints fans have incurred damages of emotional trauma or something.
Well, it's dating back to 2009. This is where he got the idea, and the new, when the whole Spygate was happening with Bill Belichick and the Patriots, the same thing happened. Some Jets fan filed a lawsuit against the New England Patriots, saying, "Hey, you've been defrauding the fans and taking away from our experience."
I didn't even know about that.
Buying a ticket to a game, he says, is a revocable license that grants you access to a sports venue. So basically he's saying that my experience was ruined, and he basically wants a refund of his ticket, but in the form of a lawsuit.
Well, this guy has gone one further, and he wants the game to be replayed from where the file occurred, well, the no call occurred, to the end of the game again, which is just absurd. Like, that's never going to happen.
Right.
Like, why? That's not in the NFL's best interest.
The fact that we were even talking about this is crazy.
It's dumb. I don't know.
What we could talk about maybe is incorporating, you know, instant replay on penalties, which you can't do right now. You can't replay penalties. But here's what I have to say about that. Penalties are going to happen. They say holding happens on every play, and I believe that. There's a holding call missed on every play. I believe that. Missed calls are part of the experience of football and all sports. It was the same thing when baseball has been trying to introduce instant replay into there on strikes and balls and outs, and it's the same thing there. You know, missed calls are a part of the game.
I see.
While it's devastating for the Saints because it was a blatant call.
Yeah.
But you have to live with it. It's unless you can prove that the Rams paid the referees, which I don't believe happened.
No, I don't believe that at all. But here's what I'll say. These referees are human, okay? They make mistakes.
Right.
As bad as this mistake was, I think if you were to introduce any type of, you know, robot or anything like that into the game, it's just, you know, it's not good. It's not good for the game, I don't think. Let's see.
I've got to give a shout out to the Rams kicker who
kicked. What's his name?
Greg I'm going to go with Greg. I'm not going Zerlin. I can't remember Zerlin? How to pronounce it.
I think
it.
It's Zerlin.
Zerlin, that sounds right.
Okay.
But I got to give a shout out to him, another kid from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Oh.
Went to high school in Lincoln. Ended up playing football at the University of Omaha. Okay, now listen to this story. This is crazy.
Oh, my.
At the University of Omaha, he has 1 year of eligibility left. Before his year of eligibility starts, he breaks his leg as a kicker that, you know, you're done.
Yeah.
He was out for the season. The next year, the University of Omaha drops their football program. So here's Greg.
That was just mind-blowing when you told me that.
Yeah. Like, so here's Greg with 1 year of eligibility left. What's he going to do? He transfers to a school, a D2 school, I believe in Missouri, gets noticed by the Rams at this D2 school.
Which, how does that happen?
How does that happen? Like, I couldn't tell you. And then ends up playing for the NFL, ends up kicking the game-winning field goal for the Rams, and is on the verge of a Super Bowl ring.
Game-winning and game-tying, right? Because he also got the game-tying field goal at the end.
Yeah.
And like,
so, he broke his leg, which is going to lead to a possible Super Bowl ring, all yeah. because he broke his leg.
Yeah.
So, you got to see the big picture sometimes.
Yeah, that's right.
The lesson learned from my boy Greg.
Do you want to talk a little bit about overtime?
Yes.
Oh, my.
So,
I don't know if I want to get you riled up for about this.
The Patriots and Chiefs, great game to watch.
Yeah,
very
exciting
game
to
watch. They go to overtime. Here's my problem with the overtime rules.
Oh, my.
They say that defense wins championships, right?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
And it's important, but the fact that Patrick Mahomes didn't get a chance to play in overtime is outrageous. Just because the Patriots were able to score a touchdown on their first drive.
Okay.
I understand that if the Chiefs are, you know, a Super Bowl contending team, they need to be able to stop the Patriots. But the Patriots just marched down the field. You know, they had him in a couple third and longs.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady is able to Tom Brady and the Patriots, yeah. I should say. Not
it's
just Tom
it's
Brady.
Just Tom Brady.
Was able to lead his team down the field and end up winning. And Patrick Mahomes didn't even get a chance to see the field in overtime.
No.
That makes no sense to me.
Here's what I'll say. I think there, as much as I want to tweak these rules, you know what? I do want to tweak these rules. 'Cause I think either, here's what needs to happen. They need to change the college rules or... they should have if one team scores a touchdown on their first drive, the other team has only one chance to score a touchdown to tie it.
Sure. Yeah, like kind of a modified golden goal.
Yeah.
Kind of a rule.
I'd say so. I think that'd be good. Don't even get me started on kickoffs. I hate kickoffs.
You hate kickoffs.
I hate kickoffs.
I do want to hear about this.
Oh no. Okay. Let's go on a little tangent. Okay. Kickoffs. Are one of the, I think, worst plays in all of football.
Explain.
Okay, so you kick the ball off, right?
Yep.
Either it goes into the end zone.
Right.
Or the person takes it out. And where are they going usually?
Well, to their end zone.
Yes. How do they usually get there?
Running.
Yes. But where do they usually go on the field? Usually always to the sides of the sidelines.
Right.
So either, this is what I'll say, okay? Kickoffs are also bad for the players, okay? It just puts them in a bad position. You know why? Because when you do a kickoff, the return team is already blocking before the ball even gets to the end zone.
Sure.
And so... you're putting all these players in danger, I think.
Well, isn't playing football putting these players in danger?
But unnecessary danger.
Hmm.
You don't like that.
So how do you feel about punting?
Punting? My man Pat McAfee would have a nice thing to say about punting. I love punting.
So do you think we should, instead of a kickoff, it should be like you just came off a safety and you should punt the ball? Well, then how does the team, do you just say start the team at the 20-yard line?
No. There's actually a proposed, I forget what it's called. Give me 1 second. But it's basically this scheme where a team lines up and it's, I think, either 4th and 10 or 4th and 15.
Okay.
At the 30-yard line or something.
Okay.
Let's see. They start at the 30 or 35-yard line or something like that. It's called the, I think, the Shiano plan or something like that.
Okay.
I'm looking it up right now. And let's see. But what they would do is, you know, they'd have one chance to convert the down, and they start from either there or they can punt it. You see what I'm saying?
So let's choose the Patriots and the Chiefs.
Okay.
Let's say the Patriots just scored.
May I add one thing?
Yeah.
Okay. That punt coverage when the Steelers played the Patriots, that was a touchback. Okay. Did you see that?
I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'll believe you. Okay.
It was a touchback. As many people may disagree with me, it was a touchback.
Okay.
His foot touched the line. Okay.
Okay. So let's say the Patriots just scored.
Okay.
You're saying what they should do is give the Chiefs 4th and 15.
What?
Confused.
No, they would. Okay. So what you would do instead of kicking the ball off.
So the Patriots just scored.
They now line up, so it'd be on the 25-yard line, okay?
Oh, wait, whose 25-yard line?
Their 25-yard line.
The Patriots' 25-yard line.
So it'd be on the Patriots' 25-yard line, and they'd have the option to basically either go for it on either 4th and 10 or 4th and 15, basically similar to like an onside kick,
mm-hmm.
and or they could punt the ball, which, you know, I think is a lot safer in terms of player safety.
Okay. The problem with this is that you run into the thing of, like, what if one team dominates these 4th and 10 conversions and then nobody else gets the ball back?
That's where I say defense wins championships.
All right, whatever you want to say. I got one more thing to say about this AFC championship game.
Okay.
And
it's the NFC Championship game. We're talking about the Saints.
Oh, no, we weren't.
Yeah, we were.
Oh, well, I want to talk about the AFC Championship game for 1 second. The Patriots and Tom Brady.
Maybe you were right.
I've always been a diehard, not diehard, but I've always been a fan of, you know, the Peyton Mannings and the Drew Breeses. I was born in Denver, so I'm a Broncos fan through and through.
Okay.
And so, you know, And I've been a Colts fan too, mostly because of Peyton Manning. And then once he came to the Broncos, you know, of course I had to join the bandwagon even more.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always despised Tom Brady.
But why?
Here's why. The more games I see him play, the more I am convinced that it is not Tom Brady who is winning these games. It's
Bill Belichick.
It's Bill Belichick and the Patriots. And as impressive as Tom Brady's career has been, he's still a great quarterback. But when people talk about Tom Brady winning these games and Tom Brady doing all this stuff, you have to remember that he's surrounded by some of the best wide receivers in the league. You know, he's got some of the best offensive linemen in the league protecting him. And his defense, too, is winning some games. I got to give a shout-out to one of my friends, Parker Thune. Parker's he's big on Twitter. You can check him out on Twitter at Parker Thune.
Spell Thune.
Thune. But anyway, he had a couple good tweets after the AFC Championship game. I just like to point out. So here's what they say. In his 5 Super Bowl wins, Tom Brady has held the greatest show on turf to 17 points. For those of you who don't know, the greatest show on turf was also the Rams. So this is going to be another, that was in 2002, so another Rams-Patriots
Rematch.
Rematch. Mm-hmm. He kicked the two game-winning field goals in 2002 and 2004. He intercepted Russell Wilson on the goal line in 2015 against the Seahawks. And he shut out the Falcons' offense in the second half of 2017.
Wait, why are you saying he?
As you can see, all of these were not Tom Brady's doing.
Ah.
So what I'm saying is the Patriots... The Patriots are a good team, but Tom Brady is a system quarterback. Another stat that Parker pointed out is that Tom Brady is just Tony Romo with rings. Tom Brady has whatever six or seven
rings.
Can
Tom Brady call the exact same plays from the booth that the Patriots are going to play?
Oh my goodness! But listen to these. Listen to these stats. These are Tom Brady's career stats versus Tony Romo's career stats.
Okay.
64. Versus 65.3 completion percentage.
Okay.
Brady has 7.5 yards per attempt, whereas Romo has 7.9 yards per attempt.
Okay.
97.6 RTG versus a 97.1 RTG, and yards per game, 264.1 versus 269.2 on Romo's side.
Okay.
So, arguably, Romo has the better stats. It's just that the Cowboys were never able to come out with a win while he was... While he was the quarterback.
Yeah. And I'd like to add on saying, I don't think Tom Brady won that game for the Patriots. Mm. I don't think Bill Belichick won that game for the Patriots.
Ooh, who won that game for the Patriots?
I think Andy Reid lost the game for the Chiefs. His clock management, okay, was just trash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he gave, I think, at least a minute, more than a minute,
sure,
almost 2 minutes, I think, to the Patriots to score again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, you're supposed to run the clock. Come on.
Yeah, like, it didn't help. I'm pretty sure the Patriots going into that final drive had three timeouts left. Is that right?
I don't remember.
Mm, well, either way, it crazy game. And if I'm going to say it, I'm going to say that Tom Brady is he doesn't deserve... He deserves these wins. He's a good quarterback. I mean, those are good stats.
I'd say he's the greatest quarterback of all time.
I wouldn't say that.
Why not? Who would you say is better?
I'm saying that Bill Belichick has built one of maybe the greatest offenses of all time.
Okay.
I'll agree with that. But I don't know if Tom Brady was put on any other offense, I don't know if he would have had the stats that he could do.
I'm sure Belichick has something to do with that, but...
Well, sure. But, for example, Peyton Manning was able to do the same things he did with Indianapolis as he was with the Broncos.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'd argue that Peyton Manning is a better quarterback than Tom Brady.
Well, we'd never know because Brady's been with the Patriots all his
career. Exactly. We'll never know. It's pointless arguing. It's the same argument if it's pointless arguing who's better, LeBron James or Michael Jordan. But
yeah,
we won't get into that.
No.
Anyway, let's move on to the Super Bowl predictions.
Okay.
We got 2 weeks away from the Super Bowl. What's your prediction, Dom? Dom's thoughts on the prediction.
Dom's thoughts on the pod. I really, really want the Rams to win, okay? And I think, barring there's no Philly special this time,
mm-hmm,
I think Rams still come out on top if they can hold Tom Brady and his offense. So I'm going to say... let's see. Rams 28, Patriots 17.
Okay. Okay, that's real close to what I have. Here's why I think the Rams win the game.
Okay.
There are two former Nebraska Cornhusker football players playing in the Super Bowl. One of which won the game for the Patriots.
If Nebraska and Nebraska were in the Super Bowl, who would win?
Well, obviously Nebraska. But one of which, Rex Burkhead.
Neither.
Oh, you're right. You're right. One of which won the AFC Championship for the Patriots with the game-winning touchdown,
okay,
Rex Burkhead. On the other side, you have Ndamukong Suh as a defensive tackle. I've watched...
The Stomper?
The Stomper.
The Stomper.
Yeah, that's debatable.
What do you mean debatable? He stomped his freaking leg.
Anyway, we're not going to talk about that. He's aggressive.
A little bit.
I've watched him play. I watched him play 4 years at Nebraska, and I've watched him play throughout the NFL.
Okay.
I think that he has the tools to he and the rest of the Rams defensive line, I think he has the tools to take down Brady and his offense.
Okay.
Now, Rex Burkhead had a great game. Tom Brady had a great game. All the wide receivers for the Patriots were having a great game. So I think the Rams defense, again, the defense has to win this championship here. If the Rams defense can step up, then I think the Rams will pull it off. And that's why I'm picking Rams 24, Patriots 17.
Okay.
Maybe even 24-14. I don't know. But we'll see. It's all contingent on the Rams defense.
Yeah. If they can stop Chris Hogan, Julian Edelman,
mm-hmm.
and even the now retiring Rob Gronkowski.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's actually retiring. He looks like he's going to retire. But we'll see. If they can stop those three players,
mm-hmm.
and as Tony Romo always points out on the broadcast, and he will be on the broadcast for the Super Bowl.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. They always like to show a throw to Gronk on the outside. They really need to bring their A game, and if they don't, they're not going to come out of this with the win.
Yep.
It's just as simple as that.
Yep.
I'd
love to see the Rams get a win here. Moving into a new city 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I think that would be awesome. Sadly, it's playing in Florida, so I don't think there's going to be a lot of Rams fans there. I think the Patriots will pretty much dominate the stands.
That being said, we have no idea like the way Rams fans travel.
Sure, but we'll see how it turns out.
Okay.
All right. Last but not least, I got to give a shout out to Mariano Rivera, the former Yankees pitcher.
I yield the floor to you because I know just jack about baseball. So.
The former Yankees pitcher Mariano Rivera was recently the first unanimously voted player into the baseball Hall of Fame.
Baseball
Hall of Fame. And the reason I got to shout him out is Mariano Rivera. I remember is one of the first I don't know characters or players I played on a video game ever. Him in a
what video game?
It would have been MLB, probably 06 or 05. You know,
Which console was that?
PS2.
Okay.
Yeah. Real early on, him and Jorge Posada catching.
I don't know who that is.
Let's see. Derek Jeter was still playing shortstop. I probably couldn't tell you the rest of the team. That was a long time ago. Yeah. But a shout out to him.
Wait, did you say 2006?
Might have been, but I don't know. But shout out to him. That's pretty spectacular. Well deserved too. One of the greatest closing pitchers of all time. Obviously, apparently the greatest closing pitcher of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything else to say, Dom?
Not much. I'll just say that, you know, with this new podcast, we're thinking about we're doing recordings on every Friday. We'll either get those recordings out to y'all either on those Friday nights or those Saturday mornings, just to keep you updated. We'll be posting from the By George Twitter account. You can follow me on Twitter. I guess it'll say this in the closer anyway, but at Dominic Allegra and Ryan Salek.
Mm-hmm.
But keep an eye out for new podcasts either every Friday or every Saturday. It should be fun. I'm looking forward to the rest of this season. Men's, women's basketball should be a lot of fun. Keep an eye
on that men's volleyball.
Oh, yeah. I actually just interviewed Hayden Wagner, who's one of the opposite hitters.
They got some heavy hitters on that
team. Just beat number 11 Ohio State.
Oh, so, yeah.
And they're now ranked number 14 in the country. So that's good for them. But, yeah, keep an eye out on the By George Twitter, and you'll hear whenever we drop those tracks. It'll be on iTunes and on the Jamie Giant Killer website. Keep an eye out for my previews and my recaps. I'm dropping one either tonight or tomorrow morning for who are we playing tomorrow? GW. That's right. You know, I've been so desensitized from doing so many. But yeah, I think we're good.
That's good? All I got. Okay. We'll catch you in the next
catch
one.
Catch you later, guys.
Follow the guys on Twitter at Ryan_Salek and at Dominic Allegra. The Ryan and Domcast, brought to you by GMU Giant Killer. Your place for all things George Mason basketball.